You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Tuesday, April 26, 2022. Everything has changed. Plan to quickly wean Europe off Russian gas faces major hurdles. Published by Richard Pratt. In response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Europe is planning massive and rapid changes in its natural gas supply, including a significant increase in LNG deliveries from the US, but there are major challenges and implications associated with this shift. For example, how can the US government prod US exporters to send more LNG to Europe? How can LNG buyers or sellers collaborate without running afoul of European Union antitrust laws? Can the development of new LNG import terminals be fast-tracked? And can long-term contracts for Russian pipeline gas be breached without penalty now that Russia has suspended deliveries to Poland and Bulgaria for not paying in rubles? In today's RBN blog, we discuss what US and European efforts need to overcome. As readers of Daniel Yergin's The Prize will know, energy price spikes caused by military or geopolitical conflict are a hallmark of the oil industry. The Arab-Israeli War in 1973 gave rise to the first oil price shock of modern times, followed in 1979 when oil production was reduced after the Iranian Revolution. More oil price shocks came with Iraq's invasion of Kuwait in 1990 and the ensuing Gulf War, and with the Arab Spring and Syrian conflict of 2011 and 2012, respectively. Natural gas has been largely immune to unforeseen geopolitical conflicts until now. Prior to 2022, the most severe gas crisis in Europe was the short-lived curtailment of Russian gas supplies piped via Ukraine in January 2006. A price dispute between Ukraine and Russia's state-owned Gazprom included allegations that Ukraine was stealing gas from export pipelines, which it denied. That curtailment sent a clear message to European energy consumers that dependency on a single, nationally controlled supplier, a Russian one, no less, brings with it considerable risk. Following Russia's attack on Ukraine, the International Energy Agency, or IEA, and the European Union, or EU, have both published proposals to reduce Europe's reliance on Russian gas by the end of 2022 and to eliminate it by 2030, when the last of the existing gas supply contracts will expire. Similarly, startup of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline from Russia to Germany has been halted, perhaps permanently, creating an even bigger future gap between gas supply and demand. The IEA's plan points out that 15 BCM per year, or 1.45 BCF per day, of gas contracts with Gazprom, about 12% of the company's supply to Europe, are due to end in 2022, and that 40 BCM per year of such contracts expire by 2030 if they are not extended or renewed. This presents an opportunity for Europe to diversify its gas supply sources, but the timetable for doing so is certainly compressed. For example, Nord Stream 2 has been under development for more than 10 years, and development of replacement pipeline gas supply will take time, whether sourced from domestic reserves or imports from countries such as Norway. At the macro level, there is certainly sufficient LNG available in the global market to supply an additional 15 BCM, which equates to about 11 million metric tons, or MMT, of LNG. This can be seen in the swing of cargo destinations from last spring and summer, when Asia was the most popular landing spot for US LNG this year, where Europe is the top destination. Looking back a little farther, this can also be seen in the aftermath of the Fukushima earthquake in 2011, which caused the shutdown of Japan's entire nuclear fleet. Gas-fired power stations there were moved from mid-merit to baseload duty, and Japan required the equivalent of a little over 10 million metric tons per annum of LNG to meet the new demand. The market had little trouble in providing the requisite volumes, such that Japan did not have to introduce large-scale power rationing. Much of the incremental LNG came from Qatar, which was able to divert LNG from markets where it could be replaced by pipeline gas and term suppliers that turned up their production units. This took place in 2011 and 2012, prior to the 2016 advent of US LNG exports, which are almost fully destination flexible. Let's take a look at the plans by President Biden and the EU with regard to incremental LNG supply. Many of these have major regulatory implications. The first challenge for the Biden administration is the fact that it cannot direct offtakers of US LNG to deliver to any particular destination. US and EU gas markets are based on liberalization, with free markets in which assets such as pipelines, import terminals, and storage facilities are unbundled and market players can compete freely for gas supply and access to the infrastructure required to deliver it. The US can only say where LNG cannot be delivered, such as Iran and Libya. When looking at the tools at the president's disposal, only the emergency powers afforded him under the Defense Production Act, or DPA, which allows the president to direct private companies to prioritize orders from the federal government needed to promote the national defense, would appear to be potentially available. Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, said in March that the U.S. should use the DPA to expedite pipeline and LNG project permitting. The White House has not indicated a willingness to use the DPA for those purposes. Even then, it is questionable if the act is relevant here. When President Trump invoked the DPA in 2020, it was to speed production of vaccines and medical equipment in the face of the pandemic. The situation in Europe may not rise to that level of justification. The passage of any new legislation would also be fraught with problems. Some politicians see increasing LNG exports as leading to higher U.S. domestic gas prices, while others object to passing legislation that is clearly intended to enhance the production and use of fossil fuels. The bottom line is that, for all its good intentions regarding European gas supply, the Biden administration's options are limited. As we expressed in Help is on the Way and Baby, I Got It. How do things look from the EU side? The 27-nation bloc recognizes the magnitude of the problems it faces and has stated its intention to reduce its dependency on Russian gas. EU ministers have proposed that gas buyers, specifically Uniper and RWE in Germany, adopt a joint approach to purchasing LNG to avoid having to compete for supply. However, the EU is also founded on the concept of liberalized energy markets, and any coordination among LNG buyers is likely to run afoul of the EU's antitrust laws. More significantly, if buyers were to decide to act in concert, would sellers of LNG wish to avail themselves of a similar commercial structure? It is easy to envisage sellers pulling their supplies into a package deal, but this would also likely be met with EU opposition. Another challenge is that all capacity at LNG import locations in Europe is held either by suppliers or buyers with downstream market demand, which means that companies without import capacity have to negotiate with capacity holders, whose market power is only likely to increase in the near term. Although individual terminals have use it or lose it provisions to prevent hoarding of capacity, these are rarely, if ever, invoked. The EU, as part of its market liberalization objectives, has promoted third-party access, or TPA, at LNG terminals, but it has granted TPA exemptions to just under 54 million tons per annum of such capacity, just over half of the EU total, limiting access to LNG imports. The lack of LNG market standardization, for example, terms and conditions, terminal tariffs, across the EU is another complicating factor. Recent proposals to increase LNG import capacity via floating storage and regasification units, or FSRUs, will, under EU law, require the promoters of those projects to either hold open seasons for capacity bookings or apply for a TPA exemption, a process that could last several months for each terminal. Opponents of TPA exemptions point to the success of LNG Croatia and its FSRU, which has four capacity holders and operates at over 80% capacity. One of its purposes, now realized, was to enhance gas supply security in Southeast Europe and Hungary. Will the proposed German FSRUs offer similar promises? For more on Germany's push to develop new LNG import terminals, see You Still Believe in Me, Part 2. Enhancing LNG import capacity also has implications for the pipeline grid in Europe. Historically, gas has flowed in an east-to-west movement that, in certain locations, must now be reversed. This requires not only changes in pipeline configuration but also capacity bookings to generate payment for those changes. It is worth noting that, based on information from industry group Gas Infrastructure Europe, none of the proposed LNG import locations in Germany are currently connected to the pipeline transmission grid. Russia and its gas purchasing counterparties are adhering to the terms of the various gas supply agreements amid the current conflict. But if Russia were to succeed in subjugating Ukraine, would EU countries unilaterally breach these contracts by refusing to take Russian gas? What would be the legal fallout from such developments? In that scenario, Europe might simply have to abide by its commercial obligations until the contracts expire. Russia's threat to curtail supplies unless they are paid for in rubles also risks breaching those agreements and creates a precedent for European gas buyers to respond in kind. In the long term, post-2030, Russia will need to rely on gas sales to its immediate neighbors such as Belarus and countries such as Turkey, which imported nearly 16 BCM of Russian gas in 2021, accounting for 26% of Turkish gas demand. From an EU perspective, Hungary recently signed a 15-year deal with Gazprom that could allow annual imports of 5.5 BCM, amounting to more than 50% of Hungary's gas market. Similarly, should Serbia succeed in its long-standing efforts to join the EU, would it be able, or even wish, to reduce its 85% dependency on Russian gas? Potential changes to Europe's regulatory regime add another layer of uncertainty. European energy markets are currently subject to the terms of the Third Energy Package, which was implemented in 2011. It was amended in 2021, with an emphasis on decarbonizing the European gas market, notably via the expansion of hydrogen use. The Third Energy Package was strongly focused on improving internal energy markets within the EU, rather than on energy security. Among the policies implemented as part of the package, gas storage assets were unbundled from pipeline assets, liberalizing the market for gas storage services. This change allowed Gazprom, via its German subsidiary, to acquire approximately 10% of Europe's gas storage capacity without any obligations as to the extent to which it should be filled. As the 2021-22 winter approached, Gazprom elected not to fill its storage capacity, leading to the perception of an impending gas supply shortage, with attendant hikes in gas prices that are still present in the market. Regulatory changes about who is allowed to control gas storage in Europe, how much they can control, and the extent to which it can be used could all be a part of regulatory reform. Everything Has Changed, written by Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran, is the 14th cut and 6th single from Swift's 4th studio album, Red. The track was produced by Butch Walker, and features co-writer Ed Sheeran on second lead vocals. Everything Has Changed was released in July 2013 and went to number 8 on the Billboard Adult Pop Songs chart, number 11 on the Adult Contemporary list, number 14 on the Mainstream Top 40, and number 32 on the Hot 100 singles. Taylor and Sheeran appeared at the end of the popular video for the song as the parents of the two kids who portrayed the main protagonists of the tune. The song won 2 BMI Awards in 2015. Personnel on the track were Taylor Swift on lead vocals, Ed Sheeran on lead vocals, Butch Walker on production guitars, keyboards, percussion, drums, and backing vocals, and Jake Sinclair on bass and backing vocals. Red is the 4th studio album released by Taylor Swift. The record, which dropped in October 2013, was produced by Swift, Nathan Chapman, Jeff Bosker, Dan Huff, Jackknife Lee, Max Martin, Butch Walker, and Dan Wilson. 7 singles were released from Red, with We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together becoming Swift's first number 1 single on the Billboard Hot 100. Red went to number 1 on both the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart and the Top Country Albums chart. It has been certified 7 times platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Taylor Swift is an American singer, songwriter, and record producer. She has sold over 200 million records worldwide, making her one of the best-selling music artists of all time. She has released 9 studio albums, 3 live albums, 2 compilation albums, 15 EPs, and 57 singles. Swift has won 8 Academy of Country Music Awards, 32 American Music Awards, 29 Billboard Music Awards, 2 Brit Awards, 12 Country Music Association Awards, 11 Grammy Awards, and 11 MTV Video Music Awards.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.